Humankind has a long history of dealing with adversity. Disease, famine, wars, each have taken their toll, and yet people have found ways to not just survive, but to flourish, to build great cities, create great works of art, and unlock the mysteries of nature. My grandfather was born on a farm that had neither running water nor electricity, and yet before he died, he had witnessed a man walking on the moon. Today, we face a new set of challenges. In California, the machinery of government appears to be broken, and the voters are confused and angry. While in cities and towns across the state, officials and concerned citizens struggle to find ways to adequately fund vital public services. Sadly, this is true for public education as well, and for school libraries in particular. Once the acknowledged leaders in the nation, California schools are facing severe cutbacks and are shuttering school libraries and either laying off experienced librarians or sending them back to the classroom. Hi, I'm Connie Williams, school librarian and past president of the California School Library Association. And with storyteller and radio producer Joe McHugh, we have embarked on a journey of reflection, a conversation really, about the role school libraries and librarians play in today's world. And to assure a fruitful and lively conversation, we sought to include a wide variety of voices and points of view, beginning first with the school librarians themselves, who see every day the impact they have on students. Others we talked to included students, teachers, principals, school superintendents, parents, children's authors, directors of foundations, city officials, state legislators, and business leaders. We asked them to tell their stories and share their concerns about the current plight of school libraries and public schools in California. What you will hear is only a sampling of this conversation, but I hope it gives you an understanding of what it is school librarians do to help young people become the kinds of citizens capable of successfully leading our state and our world through the challenges of our age. For after all, it's up to each one of us to decide the future. Through ingenuity, courage, and determination, human beings have surmounted difficulties in the past, and we can do so again. To begin our conversation, we asked Glenn Warren of the Orange County Office of Education, what are the challenges facing students today?
Many would say, well, with the economy, it must be the future for their jobs or for careers or for feeling a sense of optimism for their future. I don't think it's those things at all. I believe there's something far greater of a challenge that's facing our kids, and that is, as they go through the educational system, be it public or private, we have a tendency, or we are very committed to making sure they learn what we say that they must learn. And those things are true. You know, they must learn how to read. They must learn how to write. They must do quite a few things. And we've spent a lot of time in the last 20 years, especially the last 10, drilling pretty deep into what is it that we must teach our kids? What must we have them demonstrate that they can reflect back to us that they understood to some level? But the problem is as we have drilled so deeply into that with standards and what must be learned by this grade and what must be learned by that grade, what we've become virtually incompetent in and has had a negative effect, a horrible effect on students, is we've become very poor at valuing what they want to learn. So the challenge for our kids is for the spark and the inspiration and the interests that they bring with them into school for that not to be put down. One of the analogies I think about is Google, where Google has something called 20% time, where their employees are allowed to do whatever they want for 20% of their time. It's in that time frame that the most creative and amazing things happen. Gmail was created that way. Libraries really represent 20% time, like with Google, where a student 80% of the time may be learning what they have to learn. The school library is providing that 20% time where we really tap into what their heart and soul wants to go after. Wouldn't it be wonderful if school libraries were funded by 20% of the school funding? After all, if that we follow that model, 20% seems about right.
Everybody loves school libraries, but do they in fact significantly improve student achievement? That's the question administrators are asking.
My name's Doug Achterman. I'm the teacher librarian at San Benito High School, which is in Hollister. We have about 3,000 kids. Hollister is a community of 35,000 people with about 15,000 people in outlying areas. We're the only major high school in our county. So, and I also just finished my doctorate at the University of North Texas. I've been a school librarian for 10 years, and one of the things that I know in my heart and I see every day is that the work that we do makes a difference in how kids perform. And so I have always looked for ways to show that. And so I decided that it would be a good idea to do a study in California that looked specifically at the role that school librarians play in student achievement. And one of the things that I realized in doing this research project, it was my first major study, it's for my doctoral dissertation. One of the things that I realized about doing a study like this is you collect the data and you get what you get. And so you might have some theories going in, but you get what you get. And one of the things that surprised me a lot is just how strong the connection between student achievement and school libraries is at the high school level in California. It's among the relationships in the study in all these different areas are among the strongest in of all the studies that have been done like that in the United States. So the study takes data from all the standardized test scores in English language arts, and I looked at social studies. And there's a school library survey that comes out every year where we collect information about what kinds of services a library provides, what kind of staffing they have, what their budget is, how much technology they have in their library, a whole set of services that the libraries provide. And what we did was we matched those library kind of factors against test scores to see if there was any relationship. One of the questions I was really centrally looking at was, you know, does it matter how much staffing there is? Does that make a difference in test scores? And at the high school level, overwhelmingly, there was a very, very strong relationship between test scores and the amount of staffing that a library had, both certificated and clerical staffing. So that makes a big, big difference. Like teacher librarians that collaborate with classroom teachers, that collaboration was significantly related to test scores. The amount of technology that's available in the library is significantly related to test scores. Even the hours that a library is open makes a difference in student achievement. So across the board at the high school level, there was really a very strong connection between student achievement as measured by those test scores and the school library program. So much so that at the high school level, when I looked at test scores, There's a statistical way that you can look at, that I could look at the test scores and community variables like poverty and parent education level and ethnicity and all of the library factors all together at the same time. That's called a multiple regression. When we did a multiple regression, it turns out at the high school level that between 19 and 21% of the variance in test scores could be accounted for by the library program. And the library program for the U.S. history test was a better indicator of student achievement than poverty or parent education, which is a really remarkable fact, that's very, very rare in education. What I learned at the middle schools and the elementary level is that staffing still made a big difference. And that was related to the number of services that were provided. The more staffing there is at the elementary and the middle school level, the more services the library program provides. That just makes common sense. It stands to reason that if you have more help, more gets done. But the significant piece to that, though, is that the more services that get provided, the higher the test scores were. And that was true at the elementary school level, the middle school level, and the high school level.
Educators use the term authentic when talking about real-world learning that is active and creative. And it's this kind of learning that takes place every day in the school library. David Burt, the school librarian from Southwest High School in El Centro, California, shares his thoughts.
Because I taught history, I still think a lot about citizenship and what it means to be a member of society. And I look at the information that my kids, my students, receive from the library. You know, I have an information literacy class, and my students right now are working on a project called Coping With. And we have the series of books, Coping With Death, Coping With Drug Abuse. And the students start out by getting an overview from the encyclopedia, reviewing these books, and then finding websites that will help students dealing with these issues. We're going to post these pathfinders, they're called, on our library website so that our students are learning research skills, but they're also sharing and taking care of each other as we're supposed to do in a democracy. And it's very exciting for me. Some kids turn in the usual, okay, I've done the steps, it's done. But other kids come up to me, other students come up to me and say, Mr. Burt, are people going to read this? And I say, yep, it'll be on the website. Maybe somebody looking for information will use what you put there. And the very last line of this Pathfinder is created by, and I have the student put their name and when they did it. And they are so proud to put that there so that they can help somebody else. And it's just fun to see that when students are creating that knowledge.
Meaningful student achievement comes about one student at a time. For students to succeed, the first thing they need to learn is how to read. And for this, the school librarian plays a vital role, as these two teachers from Deer Valley High School discovered.
My name is Winnie Duffy, and I have taught English in Antioch for 24 years now. I teach high school students now, juniors, seniors, and sophomores. The library is the heart of my program as an English teacher, and I think of the librarian, Kathy Green, as my co-teacher. I could not do my job without her. In the years that I've been teaching, I've seen dramatic changes in the students that come into my classroom. When I started in the 80s, most students read and had read somewhat over their entire lives. Now they come to me almost completely illiterate. They have so many things that compete for their attention. So many, they will flat out tell me, 16 and 17-year-olds, that they have never read a book. And so what I'm doing is trying to turn them into readers. And I could not do that without the certificated librarian in our library. I've seen so many students transformed by the library, but a few really stand out in my mind. One was a girl, and I'll call her Kim, and she came to my classroom my first year teaching at Deer Valley High School. She was a complete non-reader. She had never read a book cover to cover, as she freely admitted to me, almost proud of the fact, right, that she'd never read a book. All her grades are D's and F's. Her plan for life was to drop out of school and live with her boyfriend. That literally was all she was interested in, maybe find some kind of a job. I took her on as a project, and I enlisted our librarian. And I took my classes to the library regularly anyway for book talks from our librarian and time to check out books. And the librarian and I took Kim aside, and we found a book for her called Speak by Laurie Hall Sanderson, which is a very high interest, easy read for teenagers. She took that book home, read it cover to cover in a few days, came back to me and said she'd finished it. I praised her and I wrote her a pass right then and there. Go down to the library, see the librarian, tell her what you did and see if she's got another book for you. And of course, she came back with a wonderful book, told me that the librarian had recommended this next book. She took that book off and read it in a few days. This continued week after week. She read book after book after book, never a pause between them because I had this wonderful librarian because I can't stop class, go down to the library and try to find her a book. Also, I don't have the expertise. I'm an English teacher. I don't get to read library journals and go to workshops and keep up with all of the writers in the field. You know, the expert, the librarian is the expert. And so I just kept sending her down to the librarian and she would come back with another book, and every single one of them she loved. She went through a phase of reading junk, which I encouraged because she was getting faster and more addicted to reading all the time. This all happened in less than one semester. By the end of the semester, we went to the library, and our librarian, Mrs. Green, showed the class a book that she was reading right now. And I don't remember the exact title. It was called A Pillow Book of something or other, but it was 500 pages long, this huge, enormous book. And the librarian said that she just started it. She was really interested in it, told the kids a little bit about it. This student, Kim, a non-reader previously, got that book, checked out the book, finished it before the librarian did, and was so proud of herself and started reading really serious literature. It was the beginning of the early part of the second semester, she came to the two of us together in the library, the librarian and I, and she said, "You guys told me that reading would make a big difference, but I don't get how it works. I'm getting all A's and B's now. I do better on my tests. Everything's easier, and I don't know why." And just this change, because she, and we had explained all along this would happen, and it happens to kid after kid. She became a reader. Her vocabulary increased, her attention to detail. She was able to understand and read her tests, read her material for her other classes. And she was transformed into an AB student, graduating and planning on college, just because of her trips to the library.
The most incredible teaching moment I've had in 9 years came a month ago. One of my old students, Gustavo Alleman, he came into class 2 years ago in my English 11 class with nothing, not even a pen, no paper, no book, nothing. You know, he's a tough guy, you know, that kind of kid. And so as the year went on, we started going to the library, started talking about books, the importance of reading, the importance of knowledge. He began to read small little books at first. And then by the end of the year, he was reading 300, 400 page books. He was coming in to talk to Kathy, our librarian, about new books he could read. His grades in every class went up. He passed every class, which was a first for him. And so senior year, he went on to be an awesome reader, kept coming in and telling me the books he was reading, did really well, graduated high school, which we both talked about the fact that we were worried that he wouldn't. And then he came to me a month ago to talk to my current English 11 class to tell them the importance of reading and his experience with the library and with Kathy Green. And the impact on my students was huge. They actually got to see one of their peers, somebody that was just like them, tell his story. And it came from him. And he came, you know, to share that story. I didn't ask him to be there. He showed up on his own to share what he had learned and to share that idea that you can actually do it yourself. And so the impact was huge on my students. They clapped for him. You know, even the most thuggish, if you will, students were listening, were all ears because it came from him. It came from a real student, real person. And he is now at a community college and he's taking a full load. He's taking 18 units. He started up two clubs on college campus and he said that he would never have had the confidence to do any of it if it hadn't been for reading and for improving in his reading. He did say he has to take a couple of remedial classes, at LMC, but that it's worth it and that he's planning on getting his degree and that he never thought it would happen in his lifetime.
The core of a library's collection is its books, and no conversation about the role of librarians would be complete without the unique perspective of those who write them. April Wayland is a prolific author of children's books who talks about the central role that school librarians play in bringing author and reader together.
Well, there are two parts to bring your book into the world. One is to deliver it, and the other is to make sure it gets into people's hands. And I'm very fortunate in that my writing has been turned into a solid product, but if it weren't for children's librarians, it wouldn't be anywhere. When I go, about half of the earning power of a children's author is to go and speak in schools and do school visits. And the school librarians are the one who very often power those visits, and they get the whole school excited about the author, and they prepare them, and they decorate their libraries, and they pour their heart into it, and they bring their own food, and they have a buffet, and, you know, they do this amazing kind of, they power the experience so that it's not just one person coming into it to entertain, but it lingers in the school for a long, long time. I remember the first time I presented at a school, I was frightened because I'd never done a presentation. I was afraid of the little people and the adults. And the school librarian made it so wonderful. There was a parent in her school who owned a limousine service. So he picked me at the central location where all the authors were waiting for their schools to pick them up in a limousine. And then she had a red carpet that unfurled from the stairs of the school to the limousine, and they presented me with this cane, and I walked into the school, and she made it seem like we were royalty, and she allowed the kids to see that what was on the pages was that important. And therefore, my job was made easier, and it was such a pleasure going to that school, and it made the rest of my school visits very different because I saw the power. It wasn't so much the ego of me going, it was the power that the written word that I could bring to the kids because of that librarian, the way she presented it. But they all do that. They'll take characters from the book. Okay, one librarian, quite a drive from my house, so it was possibly a four-hour drive. So I stayed overnight, and I wasn't really looking forward to it. I was tired. I got up and stayed overnight in this little hotel, and I got up and came to the elementary school all perky as I could possibly be, and I gave my presentation. They did auditorium presentations, and then afterwards, very often, they'll have a buffet for the teachers, and they all gathered around me and said, "Open your present," and all the students had made a quilt square based on my book, and then they had put it together in this quilt, which I still have on our bed. And they had, the book at that time was It's Not My Turn to Look for Grandma, which is kind of a farm, rollicking tale. And they created a play based on the book. And they had a song, and they presented it, the whole community came. The mayor came. They had the fire department. It was a small town. And every year, and I didn't know this, and every author who'd been there before was sworn to secrecy for the next author. So every author got a quilt, every author had a play based on their book, and every author, the whole town elders came and watched. It was a big deal to the whole community, and that was because of a librarian.
What empowers people to change society for the better? What is the cornerstone of economic development? State Assembly member Manuel Perez brings his personal experience and hopes to our conversation.
My name is Manuel Perez, Assembly Member 48 at the Semi District. I was not born with a silver spoon. My parents were both farm workers. My parents worked very hard to provide what they could, and at the end of the day, to put the food on the table, to provide us housing, and to make sure that we were clothed. We didn't have the luxury of extra dollars to go to a bookstore, for example. The very first book that I ever received was at a library. Alongside that, I also was able to receive books through our elementary schools, our middle schools, and obviously our high school. Libraries, in my humble opinion, are one of the elements within the educational system, and even outside the educational system, within our own communities, are fundamental to the success of all our children and as well their parents. Libraries give an opportunity for individuals to understand, better understand who they are, as well as their situation in life. Ultimately, libraries, through the checking out of a book, if you will, allows an individual, whether they are rich or poor, to have an equal playing field where people can explore and discover outside their reality. Ultimately, through that process, you begin to identify, understand the issue or the concept of literacy. Now, literacy is much more than being able to read, write, and articulate fluently. That's part of it, but that's not in its entirety. Literacy goes beyond that. As I like to say, literacy is also about not only reading the word, but reading the world. Through that process of individuals being able to understand concepts and ideas and being able to express themselves and linking that to their surroundings, they begin to question. Folks begin to critically analyze. Folks begin to try to understand why it is that there is poverty, why it is that there is despair, why it is that certain people have while others do not. And through that, you begin to move in a direction where people begin to make change, social change, change for a better future, change for a better future for themselves, for their families, for their communities. Now, many times we talk about economic development outside the realm of literacy, outside the realm of education, outside the realm of our library system. We need to understand that if we are truly going to have the workforce that's necessary to take on the jobs of the 21st century, all our folks, our youth, as well as our parents, they need to be literate. They need to be able to express themselves and understand concepts and messages that they are giving as well as they are providing to others. And so if we are to truly recover economically as a state, we need to not only invest in small businesses and invest in other types of manufacturing, for example, or economic development, we also need to invest in our kids. And that means investing in education and investing in our libraries.
If school librarians do essential work every day helping students and teachers, why is it then that we don't all know about it? So we asked Dr. Leslie Farmer, coordinator of the librarianship program at California State University, Long Beach.
One of the problems is that even though librarians value story, and you know they work hard at trying to be a storyteller, especially if they're working with young kids, they don't tell their own story as often as they could. Librarians tend to be very sharing, but they tend to be very sharing of all these different resources. And they're sharing of themselves. It's the service that's important. They don't see themselves as the important thing. They see themselves as a conduit. I sometimes ask the question, why aren't librarians rich? We have the best access to information of anybody. We're well organized. We tend to be pretty moral. And we tend to be pretty intelligent. We have, you know, pretty good communication skills. And the reason is because we give it all away. You know, our mindset, our value is to empower other people. You know, oh, look what you could do with this. Oh, wouldn't this be exciting? Oh, you want to become so-and-so? Let me help you with that. Rather than empowering themselves. So I'm not sure that librarians are convinced that telling their own story is going to be very, when they see all the wonderful books, the wonderful videos, and all this just, you know, my story, my life, in comparison with all this other stuff is much more shiny and glamorous and pretty. You know, I'm only valued because I can help you, right? Because they are such sharing people. It's almost a self-denigration. It's like the good waitress is not seen. And sometimes the best librarians are not seen.
To run a large, diverse school district can be a tremendous challenge. Days filled with meetings, budgets, public relations, more meetings, and yet knowing what is most important for students is paramount.
My name's Donald Gill, and I'm the superintendent for Antioch Unified School District in Antioch, California. We are a school district in Contra Costa County, which is a very large county and geographically, and among all of the school districts, we would be in the top five in terms of size. We're just under 20,000 students. It's a community that's very diverse in Contra Costa County, so we have students who've come from all parts of the world. And we have 25 schools. We have two large comprehensive high schools. For me, the library here at Deer Valley High School is an integral part of the campus. To me, and the way it's designed, you can see that the library is pretty much at the center of the building design so that students from all parts of the campus, from all directions, would pass through or pass the library. But for me, I look at it as almost a sanctuary for kids to come in and to reflect upon what they've learned, to gather their thoughts, to learn and study and share. So for me, it's a gathering place that in many ways is a sacred space on a campus for me. And I'm not only talking about this particular high school, but libraries in general are a sanctuary, a quiet place amidst all the hustle and bustle. The role of a librarian, particularly one that is well-trained and versed in helping students understand what is research-based and what is just opinion, is critical. Because today, with the electronic media and the ability of any individual to post whatever they want and make it sound factual, it's very important that kids have the ability to differentiate between that kind of loose opinion making versus the research-based work that is produced on a scholarly basis is so critical for kids. And what the librarian can offer our kids is the ability to look at information from an analytical point of view and then make that personal determination on their own so that they become informed readers and informed decision makers based upon their research and their learning through the resources that every library offers our students.
Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? And so it is with the hidden work done by school librarians. We, the parents, administrators, students, and faculty, just assume that they will always be there. Well, Jeannie Nelson, library media coordinator, reminds us that
some of the overwhelming details that are involved in the library. I mean, keeping the data up to date, managing the student database, the hidden work behind the scenes that people who come to a library don't see, the enormous amount of shelving. I mean, we're checking out in my district about 50,000 books a month. All those books go out and they have to go back on the shelf again. And that's a lot of work. Somebody physically has to put every book back on the shelf in the place where it came from. And yet you never see that. You go in and the books are all on the shelf and you just assume they're going to be on the shelf where they came from. And you just assume that they're all going to be interesting and they're all going to be carefully selected and they're going to be in good condition and they're going to be clean and nobody will have written in them. And making that all happen takes a lot of work. There's a monitoring and an updating and a weeding and a repairing and a selecting and deselecting that all has to take place to make this lovely, perfect, nice-looking library, contemporary books, exciting books, interesting books, books that match the curriculum. When you go into the library and you're doing a report on a mission or on the Civil War, you know the school library is going to have a book on a mission or a Civil War. And you're mortally disappointed if it doesn't, because this is the school library and it does that. And in point of fact, it does. Always.
School principals are directly responsible for student achievement. The challenge is trying to strike the right balance between the immediate needs of students in terms of test results with providing learning experiences that will serve them for the rest of their lives. Anne Birchfield, principal of Garfield Elementary School in the San Juan School District, shares her thoughts about these, at times, conflicting interests.
Well, Garfield is a Title I school. Even before we were officially Title I school, we were a school where kids, families are struggling to make ends meet. Buying a book or even going to a public library and feeling comfortable going to a public library may not be in the frame of reference of a lot of our parents. When our kids get into the library, they're in a world that's totally under their control. They can choose any book that they want. There is someone who is in the room who is able to help them find a book at their reading level. The fact that a child has had access to literature or has grown as a human being or has picked up an interest in rocks or science or history. I recall reading Benito Juarez, Hero of Mexico, as a fourth grader in my elementary school. I'd never have just read that. We have kids that discover things in our library. I'm not sure those things show up on standardized tests. So I'm a little concerned that our focus of measuring success through standardized testing scores sometimes encourages us as a state and as school districts absolutely to send money in ways that maybe show up on tests. We tend to narrow things rather than expand things. We're exclusive rather than inclusive in terms of what we expose kids to and what we do for children. And it's not because we don't want the best for them. It's because we are held accountable using certain measurements for that. And I'm not sure always that what libraries do for children shows up on test scores in the immediate. I think it's a long-term thing that shows up toward the end of someone's education and is in their life for the rest of their life.
Libraries provide children a unique environment in which they can pursue subjects that interest them, and in so doing, foster their enthusiasm for learning. Former state legislator Hannah Beth Jackson talks about efforts over the years to improve education in the state. She talks about the school libraries as the commons and worries about our commitment to the future.
My name is Hannah Beth Jackson, and I was a member of the California State Legislature. I served in the Assembly from 1998 to 2004, representing the Santa Barbara and Ventura County areas. School library funding was a big issue when I first got elected. We were enjoying one of the boom periods in California, and we had a governor who was committed to improving the reading scores of our young people, recognizing how important the ability to read and how important reading and allowing one's imagination to flow and to allow children to really be able to use those creative parts of their brain would be for the future of the state. So a lot of attention was put into the reading programs, a lot of investment in our school libraries in particular, trying to upgrade them from libraries that still had books in them that talked about when we land a man on the moon, to really make them much more reflective of the time, and also to encourage people to use the libraries at school and to encourage each school to develop a greater pool of librarians to serve those schools. I think keeping children interested and inspired is critically important in education. We don't see enough of that, sadly, particularly as children get older. And I think that that's part of the problem, why we don't have, our kids aren't as excited about coming to school every day. And I think if it were a living, breathing experience for them and they were able to interact more and find areas of interest, which I think is very important. And I think librarians at schools are trained to do that. What we've forgotten in California is that our responsibility is to the next generation. And we benefited from the sacrifices that our parents made for us and that their parents made for them. And we rise on the backs of those who came before us. And we've forgotten that for this next generation. We are not giving our children the opportunities, the education, the investment in their future that our parents gave us. This was the once great estate in the country, as far as I'm concerned, because we were willing to sacrifice, we were willing to share, we were willing to recognize the commons. We were willing to recognize the fact that developing an education system gives children the tools for success, which then creates success for the whole state. We've lost that in the education in our K through 12. We've lost that certainly in our higher education system. We've lost sight of our responsibility to future generations. And it's very upsetting, because I really think that what makes us, at the end of our days, what makes our lives meaningful, what gives that experience, that lifetime value, is what we've done to make life better for the generation that follows us. And I think what's happened is we've become very selfish. We've forgotten what our goal and what our purpose is. And instead of it being about we, it's now all about me. And I think that that is a very sad commentary, and one that I hope we can turn around over the next several years. And we have to just, we've lost sight of that. We just need to remember that it is the we and not the me that made this a great state and a great country. And unless we start remembering that, we are going to become far less than what we could be and what we once were.
When it comes to their school libraries, many students know their value. They come in during break, tutorial, class time, before school and after school, and each has a special reason.
My sophomore year, I was failing all my classes, and it was either I got no free time, no life outside of school, or I buckled down in school. Oh, God. Classrooms were so boring. There's two windows, you don't see outside, it's like jail. And at home, there's TV, computer, you can't focus, it's like, got funner stuff to do. And library, you had friends, you had computers, and you had every resource you had, so you could do your homework there, plus be social. It was kind of a win-win situation, where it wasn't as confining as classroom, and it wasn't as free as home, but it had an equalness that made it so you could learn, and I was able to get my grades and boost them up to a passable BA. And my mom was really happy and I got my free life.
It's time now to look seriously at how we invest in the future. Previous generations have understood the importance of education. We can build upon that legacy or abandon it. We finish with school librarian Kathy Green.
The library is the great equalizer. And it is a place where students can have access to a print-rich environment. They can have access to computers and the technology that they need and that they have to have in order to be a 21st century learner. And so it doesn't seem right, it isn't right to me, that we are denying our students of this very important, or of this essential part of their being, that they, you know, might. Concern is that where the funding that's needed to do this, because I think the funding, I mean, even though I know there's some initial expense, the reinvestment that you get out of it, I think, is tenfold and a hundredfold because of what comes back out of it. Kids that love to read, kids that love to learn, kids that are engaged, it's worth every penny. And if we don't, then I think we see the consequences of that. In fact, today I learned that in the upcoming fiscal year in California, we will be spending more on our prison system than our K-14 educational system. So it begs us to ask the question, who are we? We are this amazing state with so much to offer. I think one of the most incredible places in the nation to live. But yet we're 50th. In the nation when it comes to library services for our students. We have amazing people here. We have incredible riches, and to not tap that and to deny our young people, we should be leading the way. The rest of the nation needs to look to us to see what to do, because we used to do that. We used to be that way. And I wait for the day that that happens again, when people will come to California and ask us, how did you do that? How did you put that together? How are you making that a priority? How is it that your students are so successful on state tests? Or how is it that you have this incredible college system that allows anybody that wants to go to college that opportunity? We have that. We had that. We need to have it again. It's California.
It's time to save our school libraries. This is a national challenge, it's a state challenge, and it's a sit around the kitchen table and let's take action challenge. Thanks for listening, and let's keep the conversation going. We would like to thank the many individuals who were willing to be interviewed for this project, and also these sponsors, without whose help this production would never have been made. Follett Software Company. To engage students in today's digitally rich learning environment, more and more schools are turning to Follett Software Company. Over half of America's districts rely on Follett Software's innovative technology, proven expertise, and strong customer focus. Every day, we're helping schools and districts build community, enable collaboration, and empower 21st century learning and discovery through innovative solutions that set the foundation for achievement. www.follettsoftware.com. And Gale, part of Cengage Learning, partners with libraries to provide authoritative, relevant information to help students become critical thinkers and creative problem solvers. Gale is proud to be a member of the Partnership for 21st Century Skills. www.gale.com. And DEMCO. DEMCO is pleased to help listeners understand and appreciate the valuable contributions school libraries make to our children's education. DEMCO is the leader in creating spaces and providing solutions that help librarians better serve their customers. Visit us on the web at www.demco.com. This is a production of the Raven Radio Theater in Olympia, Washington, in cooperation with the California School Library Association. Recording and editing by Joe McHugh. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Connie.